Hey there, Curiosity Builders. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. If there's one area of business that I always seem to be in a perpetual state of learning and expanding in, is finance. It's not just understanding what's going on, but as today's guest explains, it's knowing the story behind the numbers that really helps you reach your goals. Jeanette Gallardo is the founder of Vita Solutions and provides business coaching and financial solutions for purpose-driven entrepreneurs. In this conversation, Jeanette shares her passion for improving the financial health of businesses. She talks about how she made the decision to go from the stability of a 20-year corporate career to launching her own business, how the environment we are in can affect what we do, and the value of partnership and community. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/489. Jeanette, welcome to Getting Work to Work. It's so wonderful to talk with you today.
It's so good to be here, Chris. I'm so excited to be on your podcast, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I would just love to know, what are you endlessly curious about?
So I am always curious about the mind. I believe our mindset is everything. Mm-hmm. And I read a lot on ways to expand my mindset.
Hmm. What's been one of the most influential changes that you've made when it comes to your own mindset?
Being aware that we have the power to change our reality.
Wow.
And just taking like any challenges and just looking at them from a different perspective and making actually things work for you.
Yeah. I mean, the whole conversation around change is so, I don't know if popular is the right word, but it's on everyone's mind right now in the world. Change has definitely been the theme of this year.
Yeah, for sure. And I think before, the way we approached change, it was adapting. And I feel like this year has been not even adapting, it's like reinventing the way we do things.
Yeah. Reinvention is a great word. I love it. And I'm intrigued by your journey because you've definitely been on a journey of reinvention yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, for sure. It has been an interesting journey. And as I mentioned earlier, I take any challenge and I try to make it, use it as to grow and take something positive out of anything that gets presented to me. So yeah, I have been on a journey, but I have been enjoying it. And sometimes that annoys people that are like, oh, will you ever complain about something?
That's awesome. One of the journeys that you're on is a journey of entrepreneurship. And what's interesting is that you were in corporate finance for 20 years before deciding it was time to go on a new journey. How did you know it was time?
During the pandemic, I had the opportunity to do a lot of soul searching. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I got lost in the corporate world, and I was actually not having a direct impact in what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't challenged, and I wanted to change that. And I wanted to use my finance background to share the tools and ways to improve the financial health of businesses. So that's where Vita Solutions, how it was born.
Well, and if I'm remembering correctly, you know, we talked prior to this conversation and there was a real moment where you're like, I hate finance completely. And so you went down the road of searching for other things before coming back to finance. What was that like?
Yeah. So for the longest time, like a couple of years before starting my own business, I always thought finance and corporate were one. So I thought, you know what, maybe my passion for finance has vanished and I need to find other ways or find something else to do with my career. And I did a couple of things on the side, like hobbies that I enjoyed. And it was like, yeah, I like it, but it's not like my passion. It's not what really lights me up every morning.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic happened and it gave me the opportunity to actually realize that, oh, wait, corporate and finance are totally separate. And I can leave corporate and still keep finance, which I'm very passionate about and I love it. And then I realized I want to use my knowledge, everything I have learned throughout my career, to actually have an impact, help entrepreneurs, help businesses succeed the way the corporate companies are doing it.
Yeah. I love that story a lot because I know for myself and a lot of people that I've talked to in the past, it's so amazing how the places, the people that we work with can actually shape how we feel about our craft.
Yes. Oh, that's so deep. Yes, 100%. I kind of had an idea about it, but I didn't know how impactful it was. Mm-hmm. And how I was starting to actually not enjoy finance anymore. And it was mainly the environment.
Yeah.
And yeah, that will kill your passion.
When you left corporate and you entered and started your own business, did it return immediately, like at the snap of a finger? Or was it a process of falling in love with it again?
It actually was very interesting because during the pandemic, I had to, like a lot of us, had to work remote. Mm-hmm. That's when I realized, like, oh my God, I actually love finance. I love what I do. I love like doing the analytics behind the work that I do. And soon I realized it's corporate. And throughout this period, when I was going to be asked to go back to the office environment, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
That's when I knew it was time for me to start my own thing.
I'm curious too, being in the corporate world for 20 years, there's a certain certainty and a certain comfortability that can come with that time period. How did you allow yourself to let that go and believe and embrace the unknown?
Speaking from my experience and from people that, I mean, I have a huge connection in, obviously in corporate, and I feel like a lot of people go through that, like they don't leave because you have that stable income, you have that certainty, you have, you know, like, why would you? Mm-hmm. And going into the unknown. But for me, when I realized that actually it was time for me to start my own thing, for me, stepping into the unknown was very liberating. I had to embrace the unknown and allow myself to make mistakes in the process.
Yeah.
And also it reminded myself that nothing is permanent, which also allows me to keep an open mind on where I want to take my business.
Yeah. Did you have to learn how to believe in yourself again?
Yeah, I had to let go of everything that was not serving me, including all of my negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. This really allowed me to step into my worth and believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And I did some introspection and I realized that I was living my life in autopilot. And I decided to jump off the cliff and create a life that I love.
That awareness is so powerful as well, because to recognize that you're on autopilot and then to put the controls and the manual and allow yourself to fly is something else entirely. And I'm intrigued with that willingness to say now is the time. I mean, not everyone takes that opportunity to make that change.
I think it's all about timing. And I think you have to be ready. And as you said, like, you have to believe in yourself. That's key. Because that's what I realized, that if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will, and nothing's going to work out. Mm-hmm. So it's just believing and being there, being present, being owning your worth, owning like what you're here to contribute. Mm-hmm. But I think it's for sure timing. It's a timing thing for everybody.
So when you created your own business, what did you set out to do in terms of Vita Solutions?
My desire is to share my finance knowledge with mission-focused businesses. and who they're like, this entrepreneurs, these business owners are so great at their craft, but they need a finance expert on their side. And I work with entrepreneurs. They know it takes a team to be successful, but they also know that either they don't have the time or what it takes to look at finances and understand the analytics behind growing or being profitable. And so I provide this financial guidance on how to operate a successful business.
Very cool. I'm always intrigued to talk with people about finance, and it's because I don't really have a strong foundation myself in finance. So every chance I can to talk to someone who's that is their passion, always enlightening.
To me, it was weird to say that finance is a passion because I never thought about it like that until I stepped out of corporate. And I'm like, it is my passion. I love doing this. I mean, I need to embrace it.
So from your experience being someone who is really passionate about finance, what have you found that intimidates people the most about the world of finances?
So I truly believe that we have been conditioned to believe that whether we're good or bad at math or with our finances. And math is just logic, right? So it's a reasoning skill. And because of this conditioning, I feel like people who believe they're bad at math or their finances, they get blocked and they have to kind of like deal with this. It becomes very intimidating, or they don't want to do it, or they procrastinate. And it also goes the other way around, for people who believe they're good at math or their finances, they sometimes can use this to intimidate others. But in reality, I mean, finance and math is just very simple and it's pure logic. And I think a lot of it, it's in our heads that we're not good at it. But we can be good at it. We just need to remove that block.
Yeah. And I imagine too, there's things that you can do to really start building your confidence in the world of finances.
Yes. It means, understanding how your business in this case has performed in the past, having an understanding of where you have been, where you are, and where you want to take your business. And yeah, of course, it takes learning certain things, but it's also what I love about the work that I do is that I empower people and I give them the tools and I walk them through the process and what they need to look at, what their business, what are their metrics, everything needs to be measured. And even for instance, as a podcaster, you need to measure your success, right? So the way you do that is by knowing the downloads, the number of listeners, the rankings, the reviews, which this becomes your metric. So then you compare this monthly result against this metric, and that becomes your goal, which is kind of like you have a plan. So it's the same thing with finances. We look at different metrics to measure success and the success of your business. And in finance, the metrics are margins, profitability, but everything is linked.
Yeah, everything is linked. And as you were describing it, I was thinking about things like revenue and cash flow and expenses and accounts receivable, accounts payable, and all of these concepts that I've heard over the years. And what goes into the process of getting your financial house in order? Is it understanding all those things, or is there a specific step of things to do?
Obviously, it's getting into the habit of reviewing. Mm-hmm. If you're not in the habit of reviewing the financial performance of your business, is getting into that habit and understanding, first of all, where you are, what it means. Yeah, do you have enough cash do you have a strong cash reserve that, let's say, if something unexpected happens, that you don't run out of cash and then you have to close your business? It's understanding different components, and also understanding how you compare against the industry, understanding what healthy, what a financially healthy income statement looks like. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different pieces, but you're already doing a lot of the work and a lot of the analytics that go and play into how you're going to plan and how you're going to achieve those goals. So it's all about, like, as you said, like revenue. Well, revenue, and I'm just using the like a podcast as an example. Like, So yeah, what is generating you all that revenue? Like, what are your revenue streams, and how can you plan so that it also you're increasing your revenue, but at the same time, you're controlling your costs. So that way your margins are either stable or they keep increasing as you grow your business.
That's really interesting. And a word you keep repeatedly saying is habit. I'm curious what that means when it comes to finances.
Yes. So I think the first thing is changing our mindset on the word itself, on finance and math and all of that. And I believe, like, there's a lot of procrastination that plays into that.
I have no idea what you're talking about at all.
Yeah. So I do believe that, like, that's the first step, but I think it's changing that and also making it creative, making it fun. Like, it doesn't have to be as painful and as boring as it sounds. And for instance, I have a client that I love what he does. He has his Friday financials. And every Friday he books an hour or so to go over his financials to understand where he needs to be. And then if anything comes up, he'll call me and we'll have a meeting to review anything that he might need help with or whatever. But it's just reviewing, getting into the habit of reviewing on a weekly basis. I would start on a weekly basis if you don't do it. If you don't review your finances, and getting very, very comfortable with the numbers. Like, what do they mean? What are they telling you? Like, there's a story behind the numbers, and kind of getting creative on what is the story? Like, what is this story? What is it telling me? And also understanding that it is very important to have clean data, meaning that what is being entered into your accounting system is the numbers are clean, because otherwise the story is not going to make any sense. So, but I would get comfortable, like the key is getting comfortable, just getting into the habit of reviewing on a weekly basis and being curious. Like, as you said, like, just be curious about what it means. Like, what is this telling me? Does it look right? I mean, once again, everything is logic. So just take a step back and don't look at it like, I'm not good at this. No, be curious about it. What is it telling you?
I love the idea of understanding the story that our finances are telling us, because I can start to wrap my mind around that. I can immediately put myself into the position of, you know, how does that story make me feel? Does it empower me? Does it defeat me? Am I the hero or the villain in the story of my finances?
I love that. Yes, that's exactly it. And then understanding too, like, how can I improve if you're hurting yourself? And that story, how can you help yourself to get out of any, if you're in the red, for instance, or what can you make to improve that story?
Right. Oh, that's so deep. And it's so important to understand too, because, you know, if we put change in the context of story, at a certain point, you know, we come to a breaking point where we need to change and we go on a journey. Maybe we have some wise mentor like yourself who guides us through change, you know, but if we aren't willing to recognize that we need change, you know, we're never going to break the cycle that we're stuck in.
Yes, 100%. And that's the thing, right? Change is always going to happen whether you like it or not. Like, unexpected events are going to happen. And if you're not prepared, like, if you don't know, if you already don't know the story that your numbers are telling you, then when that change happens, it's going to take you on this journey that is going to make it even more difficult for you to get back on track.
Let alone grow, because finances are essential for growth.
Yes, 100%.
So an interesting thing that I know we've talked about in the past, and I would love to talk more about now, is that creative people, and I'm just going to be 100% transparent, myself included, often underestimate themselves, they undervalue their work, and they don't have a real clear grasp on the worth of who they are as creative people. And so I'm curious, from a financial perspective, how can they begin to change that and tell a different story?
I personally love creative people because they have this different take on things. And if we go back to the conditioning and to believe in, I think there's a lot of belief that if you do creative work for a living, mm-hmm. then you are underpaid or you should be underpaid. Mm-hmm. And I think for that creative person that underestimates their value, I believe they need to change their mindset on their worth, the worth of their work. But also they need to get creative on how they look at their finances and how they look at the value that they're creating. And creating, understanding what value you're adding, it also goes in hand with how you, like with finances.
Interesting. The whole idea of worth as a mindset, I mean, what does that look like? How does that start to change in someone who is undervaluing themselves? What does that look like?
So how does it look like? It's a lot of, as I mentioned earlier, like at least speaking from my experience, it's a lot of letting go of all of the limiting beliefs of yourself, letting go of all the negative self-talk. Mm-hmm. And being kind to yourself and understanding that you're here when you're authentic and you provide, you work on the things that you're here to do, mm-hmm. and that creates value and you're unique and that's your power. And that's you're here to share that with the world. And at the end of the day, adding value and also changing the way you perceive yourself. And that is very impactful because people also start changing, they change the way they see yourself, and mm-hmm. and that's how you embrace your uniqueness, your authenticity, yeah. and add value, and which goes again with finances.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting, because as you were saying the phrase limiting beliefs, I immediately thought of, I can't remember where I read it, but it was the idea that your boundary or your upper limit of your worth is usually defined by the highest amount of money you've made on a job in the past. So like, I remember for the longest time, my upper limit was like $40,000 a year, and I couldn't imagine anything over that.
Yeah, I mean, that is for sure related to it. But I feel like, again, like we're blocking. Why are we blocking ourselves to that limit? Like, why do we even have to have a number? Why can it be, like we shouldn't put limits on ourselves. And I think that that's what we do. It's part of being human that we're like, and it goes back to self-worth, right? Like you're just, mm-hmm. I'm worth just $40,000 a year. No, you're not. And who, you're more than that for sure, but don't put a limit on your worth.
I remember another story that's just, all these things are just popping up in my head right now, and I'm free associating them for you right now. But the next thing that popped up was getting comfortable saying a big number. So if you are having worth issues, standing in front of the mirror and saying, I am worth $100,000, or, you know, upping it to the point where you actually start to feel uncomfortable is a good exercise.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like, yes, that. And also you can do all the positive thinking and all of that. But I also believe you have to believe it, like, mm-hmm. and feel it and know your worth, because you can do all the positive thinking and do that. But if you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe that you can actually, that it's available to you, then it's just positive thinking.
So how can you turn positive thinking into positive action?
I feel like you have to face, you can't have to come like, do a self-check and really be very honest and mm-hmm. look in the areas, in this case, like for business owners, look into areas that they know that they need help. Like, for instance, if it's finance, getting the help that they need and not being intimidated, like bringing somebody on board to help them grow and help them empower them to take advantage of all the resources to run a successful business. But it's like getting very honest with ourselves. Like, we cannot do everything and we cannot be experts at everything. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, as we talked earlier, is like so intimidating to show like your finances to somebody else, because maybe you're embarrassed or what are they going to say? Like, oh my goodness. But I think that's the step number one of getting past that. Because if you can get past that, and you also have to find somebody that you feel comfortable with, like you have to find that person that you feel like, you know, like you feel very comfortable, you know, that they're going to help you and empower you and give you the tools to help you grow your business. So I think that's the number one step.
I love that step a lot too, because I think what it enables is a relationship with a trusted person who can also look at your performance and say, you know what? You're not doing a good job. You're not capturing what you could. And I think sometimes holding up that mirror and allowing us to see where we're dropping the ball is so critical.
Yes. And sometimes you don't even know what you don't know. Meaning like you have been doing things the same way for so long that it also helps like to bring somebody to look at it from a different angle, different perspective. And with the experience and be like, okay, this is an easy fix that probably you didn't even know you had an issue. But even if you know, then it probably would have taken you longer to figure it out how to do it. But it can be so easy that problem solved, if, you know, like easier to solve if somebody else can help you with that.
I love what you just said about, you know, we can sometimes get comfortable in operating the same way over and over. Because, you know, when it comes to our finances, I know for myself, I've gotten into a position where I've got systems, there's a certain comfortability, but I've also gotten complacent. And so you mentioned just opening yourself up to a new person, a trusted person, but what else can people do to broaden those boundaries of their financial comfort zone?
Letting go of that intimidation and letting go of, you know, like we have been, I feel like finances and personal or business, they're such a taboo that we don't want to get exposed. Like, we don't want anybody to know. We don't want to talk about it. Nobody talks about it. And I feel that letting go of that and just looking at it like something totally normal, and you don't need to be ashamed of it, because who knows, maybe you are actually doing a great job, but you're just, there's a couple of tweaks that you need to do to help you like bring more revenue or whatever that is. But I do feel like it's just like not letting that control us, but actually looking at like from an objective point of view. And just being like, you know what, it's just finances. Like, why am I being so, why is there so much like shame attached to that? And just like really, even being, as I said earlier, like just being curious and like trying to see what you're currently doing, trying to understand your story. And then I definitely recommend having somebody that can facilitate the process.
Yes. What's kind of coming up into my mind right now is, you know, there's in the creative world, if your job is to make websites for people, sometimes your website is underutilized or underdeveloped. And, you know, sometimes doing your own promotional work is the most challenging. When it comes to having the passion that you do for finance, are you able to keep your financial house in order? Does it just come naturally to you, or do you struggle with that like like I would with my own stuff?
I love that. I love that question. It's actually really funny because my husband makes so much fun of me because I'm like, everything is on a spreadsheet. He calls me that spreadsheet lady. And anything that we're going to, like any purchase or any investment, anything that we're going to do, I have to run the numbers just to make sure that they make sense. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, yeah, we'll take risks from time to time, but it's just like, sometimes it's like, okay, just like, can we just do something, like be spontaneous? I'm like, nope, we really need to run. Like, to me, it comes really natural to me. And I didn't realize that. I thought everybody was like that. Because, you know, like sometimes you don't know, you feel like everybody's exactly like you and they do things mm-hmm. like you. And just like talking to people and realizing like, no, that is truly my gift. My personal life, even before starting my business, I was running my personal life as a business, like oh, wow. making sure that, okay, what makes sense? What do I want to do with this? Like if I get a pay increase or I got a bonus or like, what are we going to do with that? What makes more mm-hmm. sense? You know, like trying to stay away from debt and all of that. And mm-hmm. I have always had a curiosity of how I can improve and doing the type of work that I do. It's very, I do try to stay as close as I can to my budget. That yeah. is very like, it's key for me.
Well, what's interesting too, is it sounds like you have a really clear understanding of the big picture, that you're able to see where you want to go. Because I don't think without that big picture, you can really make the right decisions, no matter how you set it up.
Yeah, no, and that is key. It's very interesting because as I work with different business owners, I always ask them this question, where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want your business to be? Mm-hmm. And for the most part, they don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And that to me is like, okay, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But to me, it's like, how do you know where you're going, or how are you going to get there if you don't know where you're going? Mm-hmm. So that is key, like understanding, yes, the big picture, like what is your goal? And the thing too, is that your goal doesn't have to be the same as, it can be different as anybody else's. Like maybe your goal as a business owner is not to, just, you know, like have a stable income and that's it, and be happy and serve your customers and that's it. And that's totally okay. But also, how are you going to, when you retire, like what does that look like for you? Mm-hmm. And those are the questions that I ask my clients, and that's where they're like, they don't have any answers. And that's what I start working with them, because as you said, it is, let's look at your goals and mm-hmm. let's put a plan together on how you're going to get there.
That is awesome. So as you've started your business, as you've begun the process of communicating your passion to other people and helping them, you know, change their business for the better, what's a challenge that you're facing in your own business, and how are you overcoming that challenge?
I think the biggest challenge for me as any other business owner is going to be like, I'm really good at my craft, mm-hmm. but I have realized that I cannot do everything by myself. So for me, it's important to like outsource like areas where I'm spending, like if you're spending more than 10 hours a week on something that is not your craft, mm-hmm. then you need to start looking into a way to outsource it, and also look at the cost, like what's going to be the best way to optimize cost mm-hmm. as you're outsourcing. So that's one of the things. I'm also like learning that partnership is crucial. So building those partnerships, and also understanding that I am not an expert at all the areas in finance, and it's okay. But yeah. that's why partnership is so important, because then I can bring on different consultants, different experts, that we can work together on different areas. And at the end of the day, that what we want to do is help that client to be successful.
Yeah. I like that model of partnership as a way to build community, so that as well, you're not alone.
Right. Yes, that is so important.
How has that community building gone for you? Is that unfolding the way you want it to, or is it a challenge as well?
No, it is. It is unfolding, but it's taking a little bit longer. So for me, coming from corporate, mm-hmm. I mean, all of my connections were corporate. So stepping out of that world and starting on this new venture and meeting new people meeting very interesting people, and I'm finding those partnerships. But it is taking time because I want to make sure also that they're the right ones, and that we have the same vision and that we're aligned in our values and that we look, we want the same outcome for our client. And also, you know, like we can see eye to eye on what we're doing. So yeah. It's getting there. And I mean, I love meeting new people. I love connecting with others and also finding ways where, even if it's not a partnership, I can find ways. I like finding ways and I can help them on any area that I can, or connecting them with others, or just, you know, like just having that community or sense of community.
That's awesome. Something you said earlier really piqued my curiosity too. You said that if you're spending more than 10 hours on something that isn't your craft, you should probably look at outsourcing it and the cost of that outsourcing. And it really struck me as profound because, you know, thinking about how much your time is actually worth. Because as you said that, I'm like, well, what if you can't afford to outsource something? Immediately, I just kind of thought about if you're doing something that takes you away from your craft where you can make the most money, you would be able to pay for someone if you were just doing your craft and outsourcing what wasn't your craft.
That's exactly it. You nailed it. It's exactly it. And it might seem like, how am I if I cannot afford that? But exactly, mm-hmm. if you spend more time on your craft mm-hmm. and building that, then you're going to be able to get there. And there's ways too. There's ways that's why I love looking at all of the different scenarios, because mm-hmm. if you're starting, I mean, there's ways that you can minimize the cost and still get the help that you need.
That's really where someone like you comes into play, who can really ask those deep questions and showcase the possibilities of what's there and provide those new creative solutions.
Exactly. So yeah, my goal is first understand the business, the processes, and then mm-hmm. identifying those gaps and opportunities, and then giving that person, the entrepreneur, the business owner, giving them those different scenarios. So here's what you can do. And also focusing, I always try to focus on what's important for that person, because every business is going to be different. And what's important to one person is going to be different to another. So I really focus on that, to finding that perfect area where they're like this works for me. This is how I can see myself doing this.
So how could people begin engaging with you and learning more about how you can help their business?
They can go to my website at vitasolutions.com, and that's VITTA solutions.com. Mm-hmm. Or they can also find me on LinkedIn, either under my business, Vita Solutions, or myself, mm-hmm. Jeanette Gallardo. And I also encourage people, if I know sometimes it's like, well, I don't even know if I can afford the services or this or that. If they have questions or something is keeping them up at night, I encourage them to reach out to me, because even if I don't have an answer, I can point them in the right direction, or we can find ways, you know, like find resources or ways that I can guide them or whatever that is, because maybe it's just a really simple fix mm-hmm. that, you know, like just by reaching out that I was able to help, then draining yourself and like, oh, like day after day after day, like just mm-hmm. thinking about it and not doing anything.
Fantastic. Well, last question for you, Jeanette. What book, podcast, or resource is blowing your mind right now?
It has nothing to do with business or finance. I hope that's okay.
Of course. Absolutely.
So I love reading. I love learning. I love ways that I can improve myself. And right now, reading which is actually the second time that I have read this book, that I'm going deeper into, Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Mm-hmm. Joe Dispenza.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's a book about how to transform your life by changing your old patterns. And I just love it because he gives a lot of like the science behind the way we operate and how we can actually make changes in our lives to improve and reach our goals.
Wow, that sounds really deep.
It's not a light book. It's a very deep book. But I love that stuff. So I enjoy that type of thing.
That's great. Well, Jeanette, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. It's been wonderful to talk with you today. And I feel educated and empowered to keep moving forward in my business and finding that optimal health for my finances. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm very grateful to be here today. Thank you.
If you are someone like me who is a creative and you are building your business and you want to make sense of not only your finances, but build a plan to reach your goals, I encourage you to reach out to Jeanette. She not only cares about the finances, but she cares about the person and the people behind those finances. You can find the link to her website at the show notes page, gwtw.co/489. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.